الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في قول الله تعالى وما قدر الله حق قدره والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة السماوات مطويات بيمينه سبحانه وتعالى ما يشركون The author he mentioned closing this work with a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which has come with regards to that meaning the interpretation of that and the clarification of this noble verse and the benefits with regards to that from the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ and they did not give Allah the just estimate that he deserves وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ أَيْ مَا عَظَمُوهُ حَقَّ تَعْذِيمِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى meaning they did not glorify him They did not glorify him and fear him and revere him in the manner that he deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah, he says, وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ And the earth in its entirety will be in his clutches and it will be in his grasp, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of resurrection. And the heavens, they will be wrapped up in his right hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala, amma yushrikun. Glorified and exalted is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high above everything that they associate as partners with Allah azza wa jal. So this verse here, it is very, very beneficial, containing great benefits and clarification of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also very beneficial how the author, he closed this work in this manner, and specifically with regards to the previous chapters that we have been studying, mentioning the obligation of the ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jal and revering Him and magnifying Him and glorifying Him and honoring Him and respecting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala from every aspect with the heart first and foremost with the tawheed and attaching oneself and attaching one's heart to Allah alone with love and trust and hope and reliance and fear and sincere faith and not to anything in the creation and honoring Him and revering Him Likewise, with all of the actions and making sure that one, he devotes himself to Allah entirely and to nothing from the creation. And also preserving the tongue and maintaining the proper creed and belief with regards to the statements that one uses, all in veneration and all in respect and honor and glorification and magnification of Allah Azza wa Jal. So to close in this manner, again, to clarify the obligation of the ta'zeem, It's an obligation to revere Allah Azza wa Jal and to have great reverence for Him and to honor and respect Him and to love Him and to worship Him alone with no partners. And from the way and the methodology of a believer in this life is that he is always in constant reverence of Allah Azza wa Jal, glorifying Him and praising Him and honoring Him and loving Him and remembering Him. And this is the obligation of a believer. And this is the obligation upon the creation as well, entirely. That they will glorify Allah and magnify Him, and that they will worship Him alone with no partners. And the ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jal is established upon the tawheed. And there is no true ta'zeem and glory and magnification of Allah Azza wa Jal except by way of a tawheed, and actualizing the tawheed, and fulfilling the rights of a tawheed, and understanding that and applying that in every aspect, glorifying Him and realizing that He is the Creator and the Sustainer and the Provider alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has given everything in shape and his form. And nothing happens in this dominion, in this kingdom, except with his permission. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the command and the authority. He has the command and the authority. He is the creator and provider. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And likewise, he has the attributes of perfection. He is alive and he never dies. And he's strong and he's never weak. And he feeds and he's not fed. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his knowledge is perfect. And likewise, his wisdom and all of his attributes is perfect. No deficiency whatsoever. He hears everything at all times and sees everything at all times and he is aware and knows everything at all times. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore he's worthy of worship at all times. So therefore he's worthy of worship in every circumstance, in every situation. And it's not allowed to associate any partners with him whatsoever in any action of worship. Rather to revere him and to honor him and to respect him and to magnify him and to glorify him means to single him out alone. to single him out alone with all actions of worship, and to dedicate oneself to Allah alone entirely, to Allah alone entirely. So if a person, he was deficient in this affair, in his ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jal, in his magnification and glorification, and his reverence of Allah Azza wa Jal, if one was deficient in that, in this issue here, this could lead to two affairs. Either his deficiency in his ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jal could negate the tawheed entirely, waliyadhu billah, and take him out of Islam, or it could bring great deficiency to the obligation of faith. So therefore, from the completion of a tawheed and the perfection of the deen, is the ta'zeem of Allah Azza wa Jal. Haqqa ta'zeemihi. So the author, he closed the work in this manner, mentioning the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. And they did not give Allah Azza wa Jal the just estimate that he deserves. Meaning, مَا عَظَمُوهُ حَقَّ تَعْذِيمِهِ. They did not glorify him and magnify him and praise him in the manner that he deserves. They did not hold him in the regard and magnificence and honor and majesty and glory in the manner that he deserves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this statement here in three different places in his noble book. Two times in reference to the pagans and the polytheists, and that in the fact that they had associated partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship, they did not give Allah the just estimate, and they did not worship him and magnify him in the manner that he deserves. And in another place in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this statement here is mentioned, and it's in reference to those who deny and belie the prophethood and messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, he mentions, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ إِذْ قَالُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَشَرٍ مِّن شَيْءٍ. And they did not give Allah the just estimate, meaning they did not revere him in the manner he deserves. They did not honor him and glorify in the manner that he deserves. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى إِذْ قَالُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَشَرٍ مِّن شَيْءٍ. Whenever they said that Allah, he did not reveal to any of mankind anything whatsoever, meaning negating and denying the messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically. And likewise, whenever Allah Azza wa Jal, he clarified the weakness of those who worship others besides Allah, and likewise the weakness and deficiency of those things that are worshipped besides Allah, and that they could not even defend themselves from the smallest of the creation, and that is from the fly. Allah, he says, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. That indeed they did not honor and magnify and glorify and praise Allah in the manner he deserves. And indeed Allah, he is powerful and mighty. That indeed Allah, he is all powerful and mighty. And then likewise here in this verse, clarifying the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the power and the authority and the supreme ability to do all things, clarifying his great strength. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. Allah, he says, and they did not give Allah the just estimate, meaning they did not magnify him in the manner that he deserves. They did not glorify him in the manner that he deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and clarifying the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the command and the authority of Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, and that the entire earth will be in his clutches, and it will be grasped in his hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of resurrection in the heavens, and the entire heavens, they will be wrapped up in his right hand. They will be wrapped up in his right hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. And they did not glorify him. They did not glorify him. Those who associate partners with Allah, and those who call on others besides Allah, they did not glorify Allah in the manner he deserves. They did not honor and respect Allah in the manner that he deserves. Those who call on the angels besides Allah, and those who call on the prophets besides Allah, and those who call on the others lesser than them, others who are lesser in rank and status than the prophets and the messengers, they did not give Allah the just estimate, and did not glorify him in the manner that he deserves. And those who called on stones and trees and the likes like this from the objects that are inanimate, they did not give Allah the just estimate and glorify him and honor him in the manner that he deserves. And likewise, those who belie the messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or those who raise him to a rank that he does not deserve, likewise, in both extremes, they did not give Allah the just estimate and magnify him and glorify him in the manner that he deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the people of innovation, the people of innovation who ascribe to this ummah, who deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, or misinterpret them, or change the meanings, or distort the meanings, and the likes like this. They do not give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the just estimate, and magnify Him, and honor Him, and revere Him in the manner that He deserves. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So in order to truly magnify and to glorify Allah and to devote oneself to Him entirely in the manner that He deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person, he must actualize and realize and fulfill the rights of al-tawheed in every aspect, glorifying Him and knowing that He is the creator and the sustainer and the provider, and He is the one who gives life and He is the one who gives death alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the command is in His hand, and he honors whom He wills, and He disgraces whom He wills, and He raises whom He wills, and He lowers whom He wills, and He provides for whom He wills, and He denies provision for whom He wills, and He guides whom He wills, and He misleads whom He wills, and the affair is in His hand, and He has authority and command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, His attributes are perfect, and His life is perfect, and He has no deficiency in His attributes whatsoever, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He alone is worthy of worship. And everything that is worshipped with any act of devotion, supplication, or invocation, or prayer, or any act of worship whatsoever that is directed to other than Allah, this is falsehood. And that thing is not worthy of worship. Rather, only Allah is worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the path that leads to Him and the worship that is good and pleasing to Him is the worship that is clarified and the path that is displayed in the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, to make the ta'zeem of Allah azza wa jal in the manner that He deserves, in the manner that He deserves, when He must fulfill the rights of al-tawheed and fulfill the rights of the shahada and la ilaha illallah, and likewise as well fulfill the rights of believing that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he's closing this chapter in this manner. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. So this portion here, Al-Baghawi had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the meaning of this portion here. And they did not give Allah the just estimate that He deserves. أَيْمَا عَظَمُوهُ حَقَّ عَظَمَتِهِ وَلَا عَرَفُوهُ حَقَّ مَعْرِفَتِهِ وَلَا وَصَّفُوهُ حَقَّ صِفَتِهِ. That they did not glorify Him and magnify Him in the manner that He deserves. And nor did they know Him and have the proper knowledge of Him in the manner that He deserves, and nor did they describe Him with the attributes that He deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, again, all of those who associate partners with Allah azza wa jalla, they do not know Allah, and they do not glorify Him in the manner He deserves. And those who likewise deny the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla, they do not know Allah, and they do not glorify Him in the manner that He deserves. And those who misinterpret the attributes and deny them, or change them, or distort them, all of this is falsehood. And these people, they do not know Allah, and they do not understand the Tawheed property as it should be understood. And they do not glorify and praise Him and magnify Him and worship Him in the manner that He deserves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with regards to the sifat and the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla, this is from the greatest means of knowing Allah. Knowing Him by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. This is from the greatest means of having success in this life, by knowing Allah, by knowing Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His beautiful names. From His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And to know the foundation of that affair, and that is that we describe and we believe in the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He has mentioned Himself in His book, that He has described Himself within His book, and likewise that His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about Him and has described Him with, without distorting the meaning, or without changing the meaning, or without denying the meaning, and without asking how. Whether we believe in them in the manner that Allah has mentioned, and in the manner that is befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, befitting to His glory and His majesty. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah, He says, there is nothing like Him whatsoever. There is nothing resembling or like His likeness whatsoever. And He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. And He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So therefore, any attribute that has come in the book or in the sunnah for Allah Azza wa Jalla that is affirmed, then we affirm it. We affirm it in the manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jalla, without denying it, or without distorting its meaning, and without changing its meaning, and without asking how, and without resembling that attribute to the attributes of the creation. And without resembling that attribute to the attributes of the creation. Rather, the meaning of those attributes, we know what they mean. We know what they mean, and we affirm that meaning that is understood directly in the Arabic language. As for how that attribute is with regards to Allah Azza wa Jal, then we entrust that to Allah, and we say, كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, in the manner befitting His Majesty and His Greatness, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. This is with all of the attributes, beginning with His life. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has the life of perfection. He has a perfect life and the perfect essence. And it's not like the life of anything in the creation. We affirm that Allah, He has a life and an essence. And we affirm that His life and His essence is not like anything in the creation. Does not resemble anything in the creation. We do not deny that. And we do not distort that meaning or change that meaning or misinterpret that meaning. Rather, we affirm it in the manner befitting His Majesty. And likewise, the rest of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The people of Nar, as they say, Al-Kalamu fi sifat far'un anil kalami fi dhat. That to speak about the attributes and characteristics of something is subsidiary and branching from understanding the essence of that thing. Understanding the essence of that thing. So before one could speak about the details of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, he must understand the details of His essence. And this is something that we have no knowledge of except for that which Allah has revealed, and except for that which Allah has clarified. So the same way that we affirm the perfect life of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the perfect essence without resembling that to anything in the creation, likewise we affirm the rest of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, from hearing and from seeing, and from knowledge and from wisdom and from love and from hate. All of these affairs, He has these attributes that He described Himself with in His book in a manner befitting His Majesty. And likewise hands and feet and a face, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned these affairs here, and we affirm them for Him, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, without resembling them to anything in the creation. Without resembling them to anything in the creation, without changing or distorting the meaning. So this is an important introduction with regards to this, because this is the clarification of this affair. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah, He says, and they did not give Allah the just estimate that He deserves. Meaning, مَا عَظَمُوهُ حَقَّ تَعْظِيمِهِ حَقَّ تَعْظِيمِهِ وَمَا عَرَفُوهُ حَقَّ مَعْرِفَتِهِ وَمَا وَصَفُوهُ حَقَّ صِفَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And the point here for the author now to clarify in the closing of this work, and the earth is in its entirety, is grasped in His hand on the day of resurrection, and the heavens, they will be wrapped up in His right hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified is He, high above any imperfection or any deficiency. So the author now, he's clarifying what has been mentioned about this particular verse from the narrations of the Prophet. Before that, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned with regards to this verse here, he said, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَقَدْ وَرَدَتْ أَحَادِيثُ كَثِيرَةٌ مُتَعَلِقَةٌ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ والطريق فيها وفي أمثالها مذهب السلف وهو إمرارها كما جاءت من غير تكييف ولا تحريف من غير تكييف ولا تحريف. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, before, in his commentary of this noble verse, he said many narrations have come related to the explanation of this noble verse, and the way to understand these narrations and the likes of them is the way of the Salaf, is the madhab of the Salaf, and that is to understand them in the manner that they have come, without asking how and without distorting the meaning. And this is to emphasize that which has preceded. The methodology of the Salaf is the proper methodology in understanding the noble Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after that, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned many of these same narrations that the author, he mentions now. And he says, عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أنه قال جاء حبر من الأحبار إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا محمد إن نجد أن الله يجعل السماوات على إصبع والأراضين على إصبع والشجرة على إصبع والماء على إصبع والثرى على إصبع. Like this is in the wording here, in the wording of As-Sahihain, it says وَالْمَاءَ وَالثَّرَى وَالْمَاءَ وَالثَّرَى. These two come together, عَلَى إِسْبَعْ وَالْمَاءَ وَالثَّرَى عَلَى إِسْبَعْ وَالسَّائِرَ الْخَلْقِ عَلَى إِسْبَعْ فَيَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ فَضَحِكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِثُ تَصْدِيقًا لِقَوْلِ الْحَبْرِ ثُمَّ قَرَأَ وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حق قدره والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He says a habr came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The habr, he is one of the scholars or the people of knowledge from the Jews, yani from the Jewish rabbis. He's called a habr. The habr, again, he's a alim. Alim in ulama al-Yahud. One of them came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Muhammad, indeed we find that Allah azza wa jal, He will place the heavens on a finger, and the earth on a finger, and the trees on a finger, and the water and the dirt on a finger, and the rest of the creation on a finger. And then he will say, I am the king, and al-Malik, I am the king. So at this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he laughed until his mother teeth became apparent, an affirmation and affirming the statement of this Jewish rabbi. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read this verse, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And they did not give Allah the just estimate that He deserves, meaning they did not honor Him and revere Him and glorify Him in the manner that He deserves. And the entire earth will be grasping His hand on the day of resurrection until the end of the verse. So we see here that a Jewish rabbi, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning that what has been found in the previous narrations, that which was in their hands, meaning from the Torah, was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will on the day of resurrection place the heavens on a finger, and the earth on a finger, and likewise the trees on a finger, and the water and the dirt, the soil on a finger, and the rest of the creation on a finger. And this is the clarification here of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. To look at this creation, all of this creation that we see around us, the heavens, the great heavens, and above us there are seven of them, and that which we see is only one. These heavens, they will be on a finger, from the fingers of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the earth will be on a finger, and likewise the water and the soil will be on a finger, and the rest of the creation will be on a finger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is great, He is powerful, and He is strong. After this, the author, he continues to clarify these narrations. He mentions what fi riwayatin li muslimin, in one narration by Muslim, wal jibal wa shajara ala isba' thumma yuhuzzuhunna fa yaqulu ana al-malik ana Allah. And then in one wording by an Imam Muslim, and the mountains and the trees are on a finger, and then he will shake them, thumma yuhuzzuhunna yani yuharrikuhunna. Then he will shake them and he will say, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا اللَّهُ. And Allah, he will say at this time, I am the king, I am Allah. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِلْبُخَارِي. And in one narration likewise by al-Bukhari, يَجْعَلُ السَّمَوَاتِ عَلَى إِسْبَعِ وَالْمَاءَ وَالثَّرَى عَلَى إِسْبَعِ وَسَائِرَ الْخَلْقِ عَلَى إِسْبَعِ. And in one wording likewise by al-Bukhari, that he will place the heavens on a finger, and the water and the soil on a finger, and the rest of the creation on a finger. وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا مَرْفُوعًا. Likewise, it has been narrated by Imam Muslim from the Haditha Ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, يَطْوِي اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثُمَّ يَأْخُذُهُنَّ بِيَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. It's mentioned here that Allah Azza wa Jal, He will wrap up the heavens. He will wrap up the heavens on the day of resurrection, and He will take them in His right hand. And then He will say, I am the king. I am the king. Where are the tyrants? Where are the proud and the arrogant? Where are the tyrants and where are the proud and the arrogant? ثُمَّ يَطْوِي الْأَرَضِينَ السَّبْعَ ثُمَّ يَأْخُذُهُنَّ بِشِمَالِهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He will wrap up the seven earths, and He will take them into His left hand. And then He will say, I am the king. Where are the tyrants and where are the arrogant and the proud and boastful? Where are the tyrants and where are the arrogant and the proud and the boastful? After this, the author, he mentions, وَرُوِيَا عَنِ بِنْ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنُّهُمْ قَالُ مَا السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرَاضُونَ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرَاضُونَ السَّبْعُ فِي كَفِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِلَّا كَخَرْدَلَةٍ فِي يَدِ أَحَدِكُمْ. And he mentions here that it has been narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said that the seven heavens and the seven earths in the palm of Ar-Rahman is nothing except like the mustard seed, like a mustard seed in the hand of one of you, like a mustard seed in the hand of one of you. Yani to clarify yani the insignificance and how small it would be. The khardala is a mustard seed, a mustard grain. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, that this is something that is used as an example of the of something that is the most small, something that is the smallest. And yet the seed, a mustard seed, is from the smallest of the seeds, very small and insignificant, very small and insignificant. And the example of the heavens and the earth in the creation in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal is like this, meaning that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is great, and He is Azim and full of glory and majesty and power and honor, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The author, he says, وَقَالِ ابْنُ جِرِيرٍ حَدَّثَنِي يُونُسُ قَالَ أَنْبَأَنِي ابْنُ وَهْبٍ قَالَ قَالَ ابْنُ زَيْدٍ حَدَّثَنِي أَبِي قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ فِي الْكُرْسِيِّ إِلَّا كَدَرَاهِيمَ سَبْعَةٍ أُلْقِيَتْ فِي الْتُرْسِ. After this, the author, he mentioned that Ibn Jarir, he says, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions that Yunus has narrated to me that Ibn Wahb has narrated to him that he said, Ibn Zayd said, my father narrated to me. Ibn Zayd, his name is Ibn Zayd, Abdurrahman Ibn Zayd Ibn Aslam. Ibn Aslam, he is, and he's Zayd Ibn Aslam, he's from the Tabi'een. So this narration is Mursal. But as the author will clarify, any of these narrations here have some deficiency in them, although they have a number of different chains. Yani to clarify that they are strengthened by way of them, and they are sufficient to be considered Hasan li ghayrihi. So they are reliable, and Allah knows best. So he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَا السَّمَوَاتُ سَبْعُ فِي الْكُرْسِ إِلَّا كَدَرَاهِيمَ سَبْعَةٍ أُلْقِيَتْ فِي الْتُرْسِ, that the seven heavens compared to the kursi are nothing except like seven dirahim, and either is a dirham, seven dirham that are cast into the turs. The turs meaning the foothills or the lower valley, meaning into a vast open area of lowlands, a vast open area of lowlands. So the heavens, all seven of them, compared to the kursi of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is nothing in comparison. And there are nothing. It is nothing in comparison, except like having a great lowland, a great vast open area of lowland, with these seven coins cast in them. And this is the comparison here, and to the size that, meaning that the comparison is almost nothing. That the kursi is great and much larger and magnificent than all seven heavens, than all seven of the heavens that are above us. All of these affairs here are to clarify the greatness of Allah and the majesty of Allah and the power of Allah, and that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Kabir, and that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Azim, rather He is that He is the greatest, and He is supreme, and He is powerful, and He is strong. And to reflect over this creation, and we see this earth and how vast it is and how wide it is, and how the distance of this earth. And then likewise above us the heavens, and above that heaven is another heaven, and above that heaven is another heaven, and above that heaven is another heaven. Seven heavens are above us. Allah, He created all of them, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and each one is larger than the one before. And these seven heavens compared to the kursi, which is above that, is nothing like, except for like seven coins in the open land. And He cast into the open land. Even if we just had in this building here, in this room here, you put seven coins in the middle, that the comparison is like nothing. So imagine in the open valleys, in the likes like this, to cast seven coins out there, the comparison of the size of those coins to that which surrounds from the open land is like nothing. It's like insignificant. So this is the case with regards to the kursi. The kursi, compared to the seven heavens are insignificant in size. They're insignificant in size. Allah Azza wa Jal, He created all of them. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has command and authority over all of them. Allah Azza wa Jal, He controls and He sustains and He provides for all of them. And then above the kursi is even more from the vastness of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he mentions these affairs. He says, وَعَنِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رضي الله عنه أنه قال بين السماء الدنيا والتي تليها 500 عام وبين كل سماء 500 عام وبين السماء السابعة والكرسي 500 عام وبين الكرسي والماء 500 عام والعرش فوق الماء والله فوق العرش لا يخفى عليه شيء من أعمالكم. After he says أخرجه بن مهدي عن حماد بن سلم عن عاصم عن زير أنا عبد الله رضي الله عنه ورواه بنحوه المسعودي عن عاصم عن أبي وائل عن عبد الله عن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قاله الحافظ الذهبي رحمه الله تعالى وقال له طرق. And it has different chains. Again, clarifying that these three narrations here that are mentioned here, they have some deficiency in them, although with the number of chains that have come, it's clarifying that they have a foundation and they are authentic. So this narration here from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says that between the first heaven and the one after it is 500 years, and between that heaven and the next heaven is 500 years. And in this manner, like this, between every heaven and the next is 500 years. So the distance between the heaven that we see to the next heaven is 500 years. And the distance from the second heaven to the third heaven is 500 years. And to the third heaven to the fourth heaven is 500 years. 500 years journey. And this is the distance and clarification of the vastness of this creation. And the distance between the seventh heaven and the Kursi is 500 years. Yani above the seventh heaven, is the Kursi. Between the two is 500 years. And then after the Kursi, there is water. Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, and his throne is above the water. So above the Kursi, in between the Kursi and the water is a distance of 500 years. Above the water is the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Arsh. And between the water and the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla is 500 years. And above that is Allah Azza wa Jalla. And above the throne is Allah Azza wa Jalla in a manner befitting His Majesty. Nothing is hidden from Him, from your actions whatsoever. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is high and lofty above His throne in a manner befitting His Majesty, above His creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He in His essence, He is above the creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise in His authority and command. He is above the creation. Also in all of His attributes and characteristics, He is above and greater than all of His creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal, bidhatihi, He is above. He is above the creation in the manner befitting His Majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with that, His knowledge has encompassed all things. And nothing is hidden from Him, from our actions whatsoever. And he mentioned the statement of al-Dhahabi rahimahullah that this narration has turuq. It has many different chains. And he clarifying that it has a foundation and that is reliable. One, an al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هل تدرون كم بين السماء والأرض قلنا الله ورسوله عالم. He says now رحمه الله that it's been narrated from Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib رضي الله عنه that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, do you know the distance between the heavens and the earth? And they said, we said, Allah and His messenger know best. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم بينهما مسيرة 500 سنة ومن كل سماء إلى السماء مسيرة 500 سنة وكثاف كل سماء مسيرة 500 سنة وبين السماء السابعة والعرش بحر بين أسفله وعلاه كما بين السماء والأرض والله تعالى فوق ذلك يعني فوق العرش وليس يخفى عليه شيء من أعماله Bani Adam, akhrajahu Abu Dawud wa ghayruhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the distance between the heavens and the earth is 500 years, and between every heaven and the next is 500 years, and the density of every heaven is 500 years. Each heaven is density is 500 years, and then between the next one is 500 years. All of this is a clarification of the vastness and the greatness of this creation that Allah Azza wa Jal has created and provided for, and that Allah Azza wa Jal sustains and maintains, And if this is the case, the one who reflects and ponders over the greatness of this creation, this would lead him to realize the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. The greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in between the heavens and the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal is a bahar, yani is a sea of water. And between the bottom of that sea and the top of that sea is the distance like that between the heavens and the earth, meaning the distance of the distance of 500 years. And then Allah, He is above that, meaning above His throne, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in the manner befitting His Majesty. Nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever from your deeds. Nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever from your deeds. Rather, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He is aware of all things, and He sees and hears and He knows all things, and He's aware of everything that we say and that we do. Rather, everything that is in our breast and in our hearts, He knows that, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So all of this is a clarification of the greatness of Allah, and that He's powerful and strong. Look at your home and your house compared to Stone Mountain, and then your house compared to Georgia, and then that compared to compared to America. It's like nothing. It's like nothing. Then if you compare that to the whole northern continent, to whole, what's it called, North America, to all of North America. Then if you compare that to the world, if you compare that to the heavens above us, the heavens are vaster and greater and more spacious and more wide than the earth. Than the earth above the heavens, there's another heaven more greater than that, greater than the one that's above us, greater than the one that we can see. Above that, there's another heaven. Between this earth and that heaven, there's 500 years, and the density of that is 500 years, and above that is another heaven, which is the distance of 500 years. And above that is another heaven, which is the distance of 500 years. The creation is huge. The creation is vast. The creation is amazing. Then even inside of the heavens and the earth, there are all types of living beings, large and small, some in the water, some in the land, some in the water and in the land. And they all have provision, and they all have sustenance, and they all have a life by the permission of Allah. And they all have life by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah has created them and brought them into existence and provided for them and sustained them in this manner. Then the creation continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger until the Kursi, it has been authentic. It has been reported authentically on Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma that he said, Al-Kursi mawdi'u al-qadamain, that the Kursi is the place for the two feet, is the place for the two feet. And then above the Kursi is a sea, as is mentioned here, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَىٰ Al-Ma'. His throne is above the water. Above the Kursi is a great vast sea. The distance or the depth of that is 500 years. And then above that is the Arsh of Ar-Rahman. Is the Arsh of Ar-Rahman, which is the greatest of the entire creation. And it's the Qubba of the creation. The Qubba, meaning it's like a dome on top of the creation. And then above that is the Creator, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in a manner befitting His Majesty. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. This is what He has informed us about Himself, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and we believe in that in a manner befitting His Majesty. And likewise, this is what His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us about. So therefore, we believe in that in a manner befitting His Majesty. Our Lord, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He is above His throne, above the seven heavens, in a manner befitting His Majesty. Nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing that we say or that we do or that we think or how we move. Nothing is hidden from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us, He is providing for us, and He is sustaining us, and He is giving us all of the good and the blessings that we have, and He is guiding us, and He is protecting us, and He is helping us. And whenever we call on Him, He answers us. He's above His throne. Nothing is hidden from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is clarifying the greatness and the majesty of Allah. The greatness and the majesty of Allah. If we ponder again now, going back to the percentage of the size of this earth compared to the rest of the creation, compared to the Kursi, compared to the sea, compared to the throne, compared to the throne. Look at some of these people. What do? They worship a man who is dead, or they get a stones and they form it together, or they worship a tree. How insignificant is that tree, or is that stone, or is that man compared to the Kursi? How insignificant is that compared to the Kursi? Or how insignificant is that compared to the heaven that we see? And there's a heaven above that. And there's a heaven above that. Some people they call on people. Some people they call on dead people. Some people they call on a rock or on some dirt that they make, and they form it into a clay, and then they make it into a statue. Some people they call on cows and on other animals. All of this is falsehood. All of these things are insignificant and nothing. This is from the provision, from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, provided by the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal. The heavens is greater than that. And his courtesy is greater than that. And the water above that is greater than that. And the throne is greater than that. And Allah, He is the creator and provider and sustainer of all of that. So therefore, nothing is worthy of worship except for Allah Azza wa Jal. Except for Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he says, Rahimahullah, فيه مسائل فيه مسائل الأولى تفسير قوله والأرض جميعا قبضته يوم القيامة الآية. The first issue here is the interpretation of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the earth entirety is in His grasp on the day of resurrection. We have seen the meaning of that. الثانية أن هذه العلوم وأمثالها باقية عند اليهود باقية عند اليهود الذين في زمنهم ولم ينكروها ولم يتأولوها. The second issue here is that this knowledge here and the likes of this was remaining with the Jews in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the knowledge of this affair here and of these attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal remained with them in their books, meaning that some of the Torah no doubt had been distorted and changed, but some of it remained. And from that which remained in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was in the hands of the Jews, the attributes and descriptions of Allah Azza wa Jal, and from that He had His hands, that he has hands, and from that likewise that He has fingers, Subhanahu wa Taala, and from that is that He will say these words on the day of resurrection: "I am the King, I am Allah," and that He will wrap up the heavens and the earth in His hand in this manner. That this is something that they were aware of, and they did not deny it, nor did they misinterpret it. The Jews of his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not deny that, nor did they misinterpret it. الثالثة أن الحبر لما ذكرها للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدقه ونزل القرآن بتقرير ذلك. The third issue is that the Jewish rabbi, whenever he mentioned this issue to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet believed him and affirmed him. And there was Quran that was revealed in affirmation of this. There was Quran that was revealed in affirmation of this. It's mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that this verse was revealed at this circumstance. And the wordings that's in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, ثُمَّ تَلَى هَذِي الْآيَةِ. So it has come that this verse was revealed at that time, but what is affirmed in Bukhari and in Muslim that at this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read those verses. So wallahu a'lam, this is what is correct. He read those verses. He read those verses because these verses are Makkiyah and Allah knows best. الرابعة وقوع الضحك الكثير من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند ذكر الحبر هذا العلم العظيم. The fourth issue here is the fact that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he laughed much. He laughed much whenever he heard the rabbi mentioning this great knowledge. And he laughing in affirmation. Whenever he mentioned that this is something that they had read and found in their books, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he laughed in affirmation of this, and he out of joy and happiness. The truth of this was affirmed. In the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, he recited those verses that clarify the truthfulness of what that man mentioned to him. Al khamisa, al tasrihu bi dhikri al yadaini wa anna samawati fi al yad al yumna wal aradina fi al ukhra. The fifth issue here is direct mention of the two hands, and that the heavens, they will be in the right hand, and the earths, they will be in the other. As-sadisa, tasrihu bitasmiyatiha ash-shimal. The sixth issue is mentioning directly that the other hand is called the left hand. The other hand is called the left hand. It has been affirmed likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about Allah azza wa jal, kilta yadayhi yameen. Kilta yadayhi yameen, that both of Allah's hands they are right, meaning in order to clarify that there's no deficiency in His hands whatsoever, and the hands of the people, the right hand is more powerful than the left hand, and the left hand is deficient with regards to the right hand. As for Allah Azza wa Jal, both of His hands are powerful and strong. Both of His hands are powerful and strong, and we affirm them for Him without resembling them or liking them to anything in the creation. Without resembling them or likening them to anything in the creation, we affirm them in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. As-sabi'a, dhikru jabbarina wal mutakabirina inda dhalika. The seventh issue is the fact that there was the mention of the arrogant and the proud and the boastful at this time. And whenever this entire universe and this heavens and the earth will be wrapped up in His hands, سبحانه وتعالى. الثامنة قوله كخردلة في كف أحدكم. The eighth issue now is the mention of the parable of that is that of a mustard grain seed in the palm of one of you. التاسعة عظمة الكرسي بالنسبة إلى السماوات. The ninth issue is the greatness, and I mean in size, the greatness of the kursi in comparison to the heavens, all of them. والعاشرة عظمة العرش بالنسبة إلى الكرسي. And the seventh issue is the greatness of the throne of Allah عز وجل in comparison to the kursi. الحادية عشرة, the 11th issue, أن العرش غير الكرسي, is to clarify that the throne, the عرش, is not the كرسي, that these are two different creations from the creation of Allah عز وجل. The عرش is the greatest of the creation, and it's the roof, يعني the peak, the people of knowledge say سقف المخلوقات, it's the roof, it's the peak, it's the highest level of the creation. All of the rest of the creation is below the عرش, underneath it. And above the عرش, in a manner befitting His Majesty, is our Lord, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So the Arsh and the Kursi are two separate different creations, and the Arsh is greater. Is the greatest creation in size. And the author, he says, الثانية عشرة. كم بين كل سماء إلى السماء. The 12th issue is the clarification of the distance between every heaven and the next. الثالثة عشرة, the 13th issue, كم بين السماء السابعة والكرسي. And the 13th issue is the clarification of the distance between the 7th heaven and the كرسي. الرابعة عشرة, كم بين الكرسي والماء. The 14th issue is a clarification of the distance between the كرسي and the water that is above that. الخامسة عشرة, the 15th issue, أن العرش فوق الماء, that the throne is above the water, وكان عرشه على الماء. السادسة عشرة, أن الله فوق العرش, and the 16th issue is that Allah, He is above the throne, that Allah, He is above the throne in a manner befitting His Majesty, powerful and strong, سبحانه وتعالى. السابعة عشرة, كم بين السماء والأرض. The 17th issue is the distance between the heavens and the earth. الثامنة عشرة, كثاف كل سماء 500 سنة. And the 18th issue is the density of every heaven is that of 500 years. 500 years. It's a huge and amazing creation. التاسعة عشرة, أن البحر الذي فوق السماوات بين أعلاه إلى أسفله مسيرة 500 سنة. The 19th and the final issue is that the sea that is above the heavens, from the top of it to the bottom of it, is the distance of 500 years. Is the distance of 500 years. So this is all, the clarification of the vastness of this creation, of how vast it is, and how amazing it is, and how large it is. And the heavens and the earth, is huge. The earth itself is vast and widespread, and above that, the heavens, they are more vast and more great in size, and above that, until the kursi of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which has encompassed the heavens and the earth, and then above that is the sea in the manner that has been mentioned to us, and above that is the throne, and above that is Ar-Rabb, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So if this creation is vast, and this creation is big and great, then the Creator, He is greater, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and powerful, and strong, and worthy of worship. After this, the author, he says, Wallahu Subhanahu wa Ta'ala A'lam, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa sahbihi wa sallam at-tasliman kathira. And we have finished with that, the book of At-Tawheed, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts and to make this knowledge a benefit for us and a proof for us and not against us, and to make us from the people of At-Tawheed, us and our families and our loved ones, and to fill our hearts with the love of Allah and the knowledge of Allah, and to allow us to know Him by His beautiful names and His attributes, and to know Him by surrendering Him and worshiping Him alone, and to grant us success to be steadfast in following His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with truthfulness and diligence until we meet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask him by his grace and mercy to take our souls while he's pleased with us. Innahu jawadun kareem wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Inshallah, next week we start Kashf al-Shubuhat.